I'm Madeline Walter.
I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
We're the hosts of Definitely Dying, the podcast that's a safe space for listeners and funny friends to talk openly about their medical dramas, both real and imagined.
We're part of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network, with new episodes released every Tuesday.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever else you love to get your podcasts.
Stay healthy.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, a.k.a. the modern day Goof Hanaja. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba, gabba, wee, baby. Yeah, the girl is mine. How we doing? Yeah. Woo! Hey, remember, before we get into all the hot, hot wrestling action, rate and subscribe to this podcast. Give it 5 stars. This is a 5-star experience. You know it. You show it. Hey, remember, on this podcast, we have the cash-in feature. You can cash in and get your opinion on this show. Leave us a voicemail at 316. No sound effect? There we go. 530-242-9316. 530-2429. Yeah. Hey, let's get into it. Sitting to my left, we have returning guest, hilarious comedian, Bostonian, now Los Angelino, Mr. Mike Malloy. What up?
Hey, how we doing?
Mike has a hilarious show here in Los Angeles. Next show is December 16th. It's called On Deck. I think I'm on it sometime next year.
Yeah.
February, I believe.
February.
It's at the Nerdist Theater or the Nerd Mel. Oh, wait, what do you call it? The Nerdist, right?
It's got like 8 names.
Yeah.
Nerdist showroom at Meltdown Comics and Collectibles, I think is the
I always get confused.
I think that's the name I get yelled at in all caps,
right.
Texted to me each month for spelling it wrong on the poster, for having it just like Meltdown or just having Nerdist or just having Nerd Melt.
Yeah, well, they can't yell at me because I am separate entity. I'm at UCB competing theater. Come at us, okay, baby? No. Hey, I apologize for the energy I'm bringing to you right now.
No, not at all.
Okay, good. Not at all. Yeah, I'm not convinced. Hey, also, we got Nasty Newman in studio, fresh off of watching Raw live in the Staples Center.
Yeah, how about it? That was awesome.
Yeah, was it good?
It was really good, yeah. It was probably more fun to be there live than it was to watch, because not a lot happened. But, yeah, it was packed capacity crowd at the Staples Center.
Pumped to see Roman Reigns.
Yeah, which I got to say, you know, you're wearing the vest until he takes his vest off.
Yeah.
We had the theories that, like, maybe he wears it because he has, like, a little bit of a gut or he's a little bit heavier now. I don't think that's the case. I was pretty close. I was, like, 10 rows back. That guy, I think the cameras are putting on like 15 pounds. That guy
really?
Is in impeccable shape. Well, I don't know why he wears it.
I would like to
Makes
see
no
it.
Sense.
I would like to see some abdominals on Roman Reigns.
I think at this point it would just be weird, though. Like Randy Orton with pants. It just wouldn't feel right.
Randy Orton with pants
Dan
would be
that.
So what? Randy Orton wore pants to the House of Horrors match. Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody, close your eyes. Remember the House of Horrors match. This
so
is when
bad.
They bought a house in, like, Indianapolis, and they ruined it and then put it back on the market. One of the coolest things WWE ever did on paper.
Yeah.
I'm on paper as liking the concept of the match. But
it was a lot better than their WrestleMania match.
Yeah. Well, their WrestleMania match was atrocious.
Yeah.
Although, I liked the projections. Did you hate the projections?
I didn't care for it.
Okay, why don't you like the projections? Guys, we're very topical. Let's talk about the projections from WrestleMania 33 from a 6-minute championship match.
Oh, yeah. It was god-awful. I just wanted it to be a wrestling match between the two, and we got a goddamn shit show.
Yeah. The House of Horrors match, Randy Orton showed up wearing skinny jeans and
Didn't
elbow
right.
pants.
Didn't look right.
But remember,
oh, yeah, he wasn't wearing a shirt.
He
was
drove
he?
Up in a limo. Guys, remember, close your eyes. Okay?
No belt. No belt either.
I want everyone to close their eyes for no reason. No, he was wearing skinny jeans, no belt.
Yeah.
Some, like, soccer shoes, probably, and elbow pads, and he rolled up in a limo, in the back of the limo, got out, was like, is this the House of Horrors? Excuse me, is this the House of Horrors? He said to the driver, is this the House of Horrors?
He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, did he just type it in on Waze?
Yeah.
Bring me to the House of Horrors.
Where did the limo get him from to begin with?
Where did the limo start?
That's a great question, too.
Yeah. At the hotel?
I don't know.
They were like, he called up, he probably called up Vince, was like, hey, Vince, should I go to the arena or what do I do? And he'll be like, you'll see.
Yeah.
And there's a limo. Strolled up, the door creaked open. The driver was Luke Harper. Did we ever see who the driver was?
I don't think we
did. No.
They got back to the ring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was dumb.
Because Randy threw a fridge on him.
Yeah, he threw a fridge on top of him.
Yeah, this feels like a fever dream. This feels like something I never saw.
Yeah, like a dream you're trying to remember. The car waited for him outside.
One thing about wrestling is that like people give so much stuff. They'll give like a match so much shit, you know? But then like... maybe like 3 weeks later, it's like it never happened.
Yeah, I had like that was the worst thing I've seen in a while, and I really had to dig to even remember it. That's
right.
How like utterly forgettable most of this stuff is now.
I know. You know, we're in that weird time of year. All right, so so Randy, we were talking about the projections, and then how do we get into pants? Oh, Roman Reigns. If he took off the vest, it would be really jarring. Do you remember when The Rock showed up at, I think, Mania 15? It was his first time showing up, or maybe 17, where he showed up with the first time not in the sweatsuit because from his titty surgery.
Yeah.
He had titty surgery?
Yeah, he had some titty surgery because he had to get the fat, like, you know, sucked out. Hey, that surgery works. That's a surgery that I would get if I needed it.
Yeah.
And you guys know how anti-surgery I am. Yeah. I said that, like, I'm staunch. You guys know I never go under the knife, man. I'm anti-knife. I'm all natural coming at you. But, no. But, yeah, so I remember when he came out in the undies for the first time. It was like, it was jar. That would be the same effect with Reigns. Mm. But I think he should do that at WrestleMania. Like, if he comes out in, like, just straight up, like, Goldberg, the little black Goldberg on this, you'd be like, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, they would have to do something where like a match before that, somebody took his vest and like destroyed it, so he had no choice but to come out. Like they would have to have some context for it.
It's like Jericho's jacket that was like $12,000. Yeah. He doesn't have any other vests. He only has one vest. Although actually talking about that, Stone Cold forgot his leather vest when he was coming to Mania.
Oh, really?
He always talks about that. WrestleMania 15, I believe. Yeah. 15 was their first one, right? And then he came, he left the vest at home, and every time he talks about it, because he came out in just a t-shirt, he acts like it's like the biggest deal ever. He's like, I forgot the vest. And you're like, yo, it's okay, man.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need the vest.
They couldn't find a single vest in the city.
That's what shocked me. I was like, you guys have no backups.
Right.
Like, you guys have, like, literally, they travel with 4 million light bulbs.
Especially, especially on a WrestleMania day. Like, I'm sure they get there at noon. I'm sure they have all their shit sorted out. Like, nobody was just like, hey, run to the haberdasher and get a vest.
Exactly. There's, you know, there's so much shit in wrestling that's full, like, carny. Like, I think, like, I heard Goldust puts his own paint on.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that where you're like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
They have so, like, these guys, like, roll up with their own... what's up with the belts? Like, do you go around with the belt?
Yeah,
you know, the briefcase you do go around with, right?
Yeah, they carry the belt too. They
through the airport and everything?
Yeah, I think, I forget who it was, which guy it was. It was like the first time being champion and,
Big Show.
It was Big Show, yeah.
What did he do? He left it?
No, he told, I think Hogan, like, ribbed him and said that you have to wear it everywhere.
And he was going through the airport with it on, and like Sting like got him and was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh my god, imagine the belt. What, I'm a TSA agent and the belt is rolling down the conveyor belt, and I see on the screen, I'm like, yo, fuck my life, this job sucks. Then all of a sudden the W like rolls through on the screen.
Yeah. Or just a giant 7-foot man with a hunk of gold strapped to himself. Like, what are you going to, that coming through the, what are you going to tell him to put his arms in?
Yeah, Big Show in the detector. What do you call that
body
machine?
Body scanner.
When he comes out of it, it's like, almost like he was small when he walked in.
Right, yeah.
And then it got big, like, the machine, like, morphed him.
I imagine the TSA agent would probably be just unimpressed. Just like, you need to step aside, sir. But I'm Big Show. Step aside, sir.
If you don't watch wrestling, right, and you're a TSA agent, close your eyes again. You don't have to. I encourage you to. Everyone at home, right now, close your eyes.
Unless you're driving your car listening to
this. If you're driving your car especially, close your eyes.
Unless you're drunk driving your car, and then it might help.
And, yeah, that's true. Go into reverse. If you're drunk, go into reverse. Go into neutral. Just leave it to the wind. So that's how that works, right? The wind pushes you.
Yeah, neutral. It's like a boat.
Okay, if you're a TSA agent, you don't watch wrestling, okay? Think of the person you know who has the least wrestling experience. And the belt. and you see it, the belt. Do you submit that to be checked? Does that go like a suspicious bag?
I mean, I don't. I would assume.
It looks like a
not
detonator.
To take all the comedy out of this, but I would assume they would be like, oh, it's, you know, obviously like some fighter or like an MMA guy or a boxer or something.
What if you don't know the concept of a title belt? What if you don't even know that concept? Okay, You're telling me that there's TSA. I would say 50% of TSA agents don't understand the concept of a title belt.
Okay.
I can't prove that. Close your eyes. I can't prove that.
I would get my supervisor for sure. If I didn't have any idea.
Wave somebody over.
Yeah.
You wave someone over. All right. Hey, I think we solved a lot.
All right.
I think we solved
this
a lot.
This is how problems don't get escalated.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Let's get into the big story from this week. And Nicey Newman, you were there. Broken Hardy is here. Anyway,
I mean, people loved it.
Did they go nuts?
I'm
shocked they did a video package.
Yeah.
It was much better that way. Yeah. It would have been so shitty as a promo. Like, that's the biggest thing that I hate about the main product is they rely so much on promos. Like, I just watched NXT tonight, and I think there was one promo the entire show, and it was the champion, which makes sense. Like, that the only person talking should be the guy with the goddamn belt.
Yeah.
And, like, they just did promos like the I think there was, like, 10 backstage promos or vignettes or whatever, and they all were effective, and they were all concise, and they all got the point across, and you don't have to have guys standing out there for 15 minutes just wasting time.
You prefer a backstage promo.
Absolutely.
You're a backstage promo man.
Yeah. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. You can do it as many times as you need to get it right. Like,
yeah.
The hardest.
It's a good way to.
The
get
only
it
part you
effective.
Have to do live is the fucking wrestling. Like, do that part live. The other stuff you can mask and cover up and hide your weaknesses. If you suck at talking in front of a crowd, like, don't do it until you're good at it.
You don't enjoy.
Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to.
You're not a Miz TV guy?
I can deal with that because he's a decent talker, but there's when it happens every week and he's out there talking to guys who can't talk and dragging them through it, like, no, pass. Hard pass.
Okay. Yeah. See, I think that's interesting. Sometimes the backstage segments, I have like the opposite thought sometimes where I'm like, well, there's like 30,000 people sitting there, you know, and then you're like, you're just going to show it to them on a screen. But I do know what you're saying. From a production standpoint, you can get the shot better. You could pull off a lot more staging-wise than just like guys standing in a ring. Okay, again, we're getting an emergency here. Strong winds over here. Okay, well. Okay, we're getting an emergency. I didn't know that's not an Amber Alert. That's a fire
there's
alert.
There's currently five fires happening.
Stole a kid, but everything's on fire.
Yeah, everything's on fire.
Which is as bad, I guess.
Totally. So, hey, guys, no one cares about the fires. Look, they care about wrestling, the most important thing. Most people listening to this are not on fire. So we see this going with the juxtaposition of the Bray Sirius promo with the Hardy Goofatron promo was, I think everyone thought was effective, right? Yeah. Live, they were laughing.
Everybody loved it. Yeah.
And what was the response? Laughter?
Yeah. For every time Matt Hardy would come back.
Because I felt like it was kind of interesting where I was like, I felt like Matt Hardy was showing Bray like how it's done.
Yeah.
Right,
I didn't think it was a goofy thing. I thought it was like a cool, like, reveal of what the character is to somebody that didn't watch it in TNA. Because I didn't, like, I watched a couple of the things in TNA, but I don't really know the full breadth and depth of it.
Right. The final deletion?
Yeah, but, like, that gave me, like, a quick snippet of who that character is and what it is, and not that it's, like, a thing that he's doing, that it's, like, what, like, it explains how it's happening in a wrestling world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't I think the people there, it definitely didn't feel like they were laughing because they thought it was funny. They were laughing because they were enjoying it so much. Like, it was like, it felt like, oh, finally, and it was just like, it was so broken Matt Hardy that they were like laughing.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, like, finally, the, you know, the Rock was like an effective bad guy, or effective, let's heal, whatever, it doesn't matter, an effective wrestler, but still incredibly funny.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was all comedy, but you still saw him as like an actual wrestling threat.
Right.
That's where I think that were broken Hardy, like, toes that line where it's like, this is very fun,
right,
and also like something I'll get behind to watch a dance fight.
Yeah.
You know,
but my only issue with this feud is somebody's going to lose again. And then,
well, that's the thing.
Like,
that's my
Bray
point.
Wyatt loses all the time, so it would make him meaningless if he loses. And Matt Hardy has been losing ever since Jeff's been out, so it's like, why pair these two up?
Well, Matt losing right was away. Great because it was like, it led to his brokenness, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, that made him break. He's in the corner, like, convulsing, just be, like, doing the deletes. Like, he can't control his arms deleting, and he doesn't know why. It's so good.
But I think you could have just done that with a losing streak. Like, had him lose, like, 20 in a row, and then he snaps, and then it builds up it where he goes through other guys and then gets to Bray. Because now it's just Bray. Like, Bray's going to lose another match.
I definitely think, weirdly, they rushed it, which is, like, so crazy to say.
Yeah.
Because, like, when they came in, my first thing was, like, the last thing I want is, like, the Hardy Boys nostalgia act. And it's, I got it for, like, 8 months.
Yeah.
But it was literally because of, it's definitely proof that it was because of the legal stuff. Because the second we read that it was cleared,
he broke right away. Yeah, it was one week, and then the next week he was there. It
right.
was just like, all right, you got. That's the problem with the shit.
He should have broke at, like, the Rumble or something. That feels like an amazing attraction to have mid-Rumble.
Yeah.
They could have started hinting towards it as soon as him and Matt.
Yeah, he should act weird for a while.
Yeah, just slow. Have him keep losing. Have little things keep slipping out until that thing happens where it swings back the pendulum the other way, and now he's winning every match.
Right.
He should have, and then he goes up against somebody.
Unless they have, like, big plans for, they really want to build them up for Mania. Like, if they want to see if they can, like,
that
actually,
means we have 6 months of this fucking feud.
If we have, no, I think they want to see if they can build Jeff up somehow. Like, maybe.
Oh.
See, here's the thing. My opinion. You tell me what you think. Okay. The broken gimmick is big time.
Yeah.
Like, big time. People got behind it in, like, a major way, and it's not something to, like, shake your head at. Like, WWE always has the option to buy something to make it not a non-competition, right? That's always an option. Just buy something so it doesn't exist out there anymore. Like, they could literally, like, buy the Bucks, call them, like, the Goof Knobs, and then they could, like, go out there and, like, be a bunch of jobbers, and then the Bucks aren't selling tickets anymore out on the road, right? But to me, the thing is, like, I think the broken gimmick caught on so big, and they should see that as a thing where it's like, this should be like main event picture kind of a thing. I'm not saying Matt needs to wrestle main event, but his broken like radius should tap someone who can be a serious competitor.
Yeah.
Like, I see, like, Jason Jordan. I don't know. Like, you know, I'm not talking about the actual writing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like the first guy who I'm like, this is a guy who, like, looks like he could fight for the championship. He could put on matches that are championship level, but he's completely lost. But if you delete him and call him like the leader, you know, or something, and then he's like part of that stable, then you can up that. Or just Jeff. Like, Jeff Hardy's already was the WWE champion. Like, if he can get in a little bit of better shape and, like, build himself up, he's already proven it in that way. I just think, like, if they have this, like, be mid-card, it's very easy for this to, like, just become, like, a goofy mid-show act. And I'm like, I don't know. I would like if it touched with two shows, I feel like I would like if it had, like, a really big stretch. Where do you see that?
I think it'll be given the opportunity to rise higher up the card.
Right.
I think the next 2 months are going to kind of make or break this. It could go one way or
break
the other. It could be shit. It could, like, how many times have they done something terribly? It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get my hopes up until I see them do it right. But yeah, I mean, it could.
Right.
It really all depends.
We're in that, like, honeymoon period now where it's like people are screaming delete.
Yeah.
They love it.
Next week something could happen where Vince is just like, man, no, screw it.
That would be, I just think, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it'd be such a mistake not to, like, get fully behind it. Like, if you're King Maxwell, I think let's get the full thing in there. Yeah, cool. So, all right. I mean, we got a bunch of cash-ins on the Hardys. Everyone wants to talk about the Hardys. You guys want to hear about the Hardys? Or do you want to hear from my dad?
Let's do your dad. I don't want to hear from our listeners.
Okay, come on. All right, here's my dad. But for people who don't know, my dad, Richard Black, he's been listening to the show and cashing in. Always calling me being like, what time do I got to cash in? He seems to have a handle on it this time. Let's see. I don't know. We'll see what he's going to say.
Hi, Dan. This is your dad, Richard Black. Your mother and I have called you 4 times. We're worried about you. What's with the fire? Are you okay? And what's with NXT? Call us.
That's my dad. He left with a nice existential, what's with NXT?
What is with NXT?
My parents, they've been texting me and calling me about the fire. I texted them back a million times saying it's not near me.
Right.
But I guess it's horrific. The videos are horrific.
Right, yeah.
So they're probably just like, it looks like Los Angeles is an inferno.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the closest one is like, what, like 10 miles away or something like that, I think.
All right.
We're fine, Mr. Black. We're fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, that was not helpful. We'll have to reset that with the catchphrase that he gave to Ronda Rousey.
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking?
Can you smell what the Rossi is kicking? He said, my dad thinks that Ronda Rousey's going to be better than The Rock, better than Bruno Sammartino. He had a list of people. Yeah. Yeah, he's so excited to see Ronda Rousey.
She's boring.
But my dad wants to see it. All right, here's a real cash-in about Matt Hardy coming at you, Gabba Wee.
Hey, this is Charlie the Dryer Lint cashing in again.
Charlie the Dryer?
I want to cash in on Woken Matt Hardy. So I didn't really get into the indies at all until after Broken was done is when I really got into it. So I knew bits and pieces of it. I never watched TNA. Probably never will, but that's neither here nor there. But Matt Hardy is brilliant. And that brilliance really struck me when I put together the consumer of terrestrial entities. And probably just a few minutes ago, I realized Bray Wyatt, Eater of Worlds. Took me way too long to put that together. But this character is
brilliant. No, I didn't put that together.
And you didn't?
No.
If WWE does it right and lets Matt Hardy have enough control, who knows where this could go. I could honestly see him eventually winning a world title with this gimmick. Maybe not. Whatever. But, yeah.
His hardline
stance. He's a man of his conviction.
Fuck the Roman Reigns.
Fuck the Roman Reigns.
FTR. Is that what that was?
No, I have no idea what that
was.
I don't know what it is.
No one gets it.
Someone said, because I said there's no way it's fuck the Roman Reigns because that's not that funny.
No.
And those guys normally do stuff that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But now it'd be even funnier if that's what they convince people it is. If it's just something completely different, then they're like, yeah, no, it's that.
Wait, hold on.
We have breaking fire closer.
No, I gotta.
How come I didn't?
Hold on.
My phone didn't send me an alert. Oh, Apple does not care.
That's
about
awesome.
It.
You guys know, you guys know Skylar Astin from Picture Perfect.
No.
Pitch Perfect.
Is that a man or a woman?
No, I shot this thing with him. Really cool dude. He likes wrestling, and he commented on Twitter just now on While My Guitar Gently Weeps. He said he can't hear Baron Corbin's music without hearing While My Guitar Gently Weeps in the pause. Thanks to old friend D Black Attack. Hey, Skyler, thanks, man. Hey, you got to come on the show, bro. Okay? Hey, you want to hear what we're talking about? So, Baron Corbin's theme song?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know it? There's a new one. You wouldn't. It's just generic rock, I imagine. I always say it sounds like While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
I think it's the last one that Jim Johnson did before they gave him the old boot.
Is that it? Yeah, did they give him the boot or he quit?
They didn't renew his contract.
Right. All right, you ready? Let's play it. Well, I can't find it. Oh, here we go. That's not the right one. No,
play,
we got one of three.
Play a couple of them at the same time. That'll work.
I think this is just the Corbin theme. Zig, we got to clean this up, bro. What's going on here?
I got you.
How am I
time.
Supposed to use this on the fly?
That's it.
my guitar.
I love that.
Pretty close.
Yeah. All right. Coming at you. Hey, thanks for the shout out, Skylar. And check out Pitch Perfect 3.
Yeah. This coming pitch out miss. Soon.
All right. So where were we at? We were talking about we were not talking about Baron Corbin.
No, we were doing cash.
There's no chance about
and
that.
Then you got
yeah. So the consumer of terrestrial entities. You guys got that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That it's the Eater of Worlds.
Eater of Worlds. Yeah.
Oh man, you know what? You gotta listen to Bray. Matt Hardy is like the broken. He's so slick.
Yeah, I'll say this: he tweeted out something today that that it was like almost exactly a year after he like challenged the Wyatt family to come on to Final Deletion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny that like that a better story like arc accidentally happened than like WWE is probably going to do with this actual character.
Yeah.
What? Wait, what are you saying?
A year ago in December, like December 12th, he tweeted at Bray Wyatt that he wanted like the family of Wyatts to come to his broken universe and fight him.
Right.
And it was a year ago, and now he's broken, and he's like, I'm here. Let's do this.
Well, that's kind of the weird thing. It's like the Bray, broken Matt Hardy, it seems like such a big clash.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was really excited, and like, it's just kind of like, they did it in like kind of a throwaway, like there was no confrontation or like it's not very like heated, but also it's Bray in his like weakest moment,
right?
Where like Bray is like couldn't be less.
What if he
important.
Breaks? What if he breaks Bray?
I mean, doesn't that feel too soon? Shouldn't they just like go for the classic?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like to start inviting people into the gimmick. I don't know. I think we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, it's all right. I think we all agree it would have been nicer if it was like. A little more. If they're already showing some recklessness with this gimmick that we like so much.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move into the IC belt. Is the IC belt now the title on Raw?
Well, I mean, when's the last time Brock was on TV?
Survivor Series?
Yeah.
Maybe the night after Survivor Series?
Yeah.
That's the last time he was there. And so Roman Reigns holding the IC title, he seems like the guy to beat, right? Samoa Joe's going after him. Jason Jordan's going after him. They're opening the show with the IC title. Kind of proves my thing that, like, Roman Reigns having the belt for, like, a nice long amount of time, whether you like Reigns or not like Reigns, he's really effective at being the guy to beat.
Yeah.
They've built him up where now it works. Whether he earned it, he didn't, that can be the argument. It works in kayfabe when a guy, like, every time somebody says to him, you didn't earn anything, it feels good.
Yeah.
It feels like, yo, hey, well, I got the belt, so fuck off, come step up to me. It feels nice.
Yeah. Did the boos that Jordan was getting come through on, like, the TV? Because it felt like he was being melted in the ring by how much,
that's
by how many boos.
What was it, No Mercy? In L.A., and they were booing him out of the building.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Was that when they were throwing, like, vegetables?
No, he was throwing vegetables at Elias.
Yeah. Okay, so Jason Jordan. So Roman Reigns, like, well, how do you feel about Roman Reigns, Mike?
I think he's a good wrestler.
I
think 100%. They could do better with him.
Right.
I think they could. They've had, I don't know, it's hard to say, oh, you should have turned him heel because this run is decent right now, so.
Let me put it more simply for you. Like, I want to. When he comes out, how do you feel?
I'm ready for Roman Reigns, man. like, I'm excited for what they're about to do with him and Samoa Joe, but, like, most of the time, I sigh, and I'm like,
ugh. Right. See, yeah. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's pretty common. Like, a lot of people who come in here are like, yeah, I'm just like, I don't like him. It's like, he's like a piss breaker.
But that's what it's been up until now. Like, now, the last couple of weeks that I've been watching, I've been like, all right, well, I'm interested in this. You know, stuff that, he had a good match with Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
That was the first match that Jason Jordan's had in the on Raw. I think that was, like, really good. And, I like what they're about to do with Samoa Joe. I thought the match with Miz was good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it could be interesting. I'm willing to wait and see.
I feel like when I see, like, I'm accused of being, like, the Markiest dude. Like, right? I'm Marky Mark. You know what I mean? That's another one of my nicknames, Marky Mark. Super cool nickname. Very cool. Very cool thing to be called. I think, like, Roman Reigns, like, when he comes out, I'm like, this guy feels like big time. Yeah. I don't like that they call him Big Dog.
Big Dog.
And they call him, like, 5
bajillion times in a row. Look, it's the big dog. What's the big dog going to do? Watch out for the bite of the big dog. He's the big dog.
They do that with everybody. It gets so annoying. It's like with Nakamura. They keep calling him like the rock star, artist. It's like, well, how about just call him fucking Nakamura? He's the guy who just kicks people's head off.
Right.
Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah, I feel like the moment I realized I was a smark, it was when I became a smark. The first thing I noticed about the product is how the announce team will like lay the groundwork for what they want you to start calling the wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's like, they just constantly beat that shit into the ground.
I know. It makes it hard. I mean, like this quote, this totally proves it.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
Okay. That doesn't prove anything. But okay. So.
But like, look at the biggest shit, like the biggest stuff that got over, like Austin 316. He said that, and they didn't have shirts out next week. They had, there were people with fucking signs that said Austin 316.
Right. Right.
You'll find out when you need to make something stick.
Right.
Like they'll tell you. They'll make it a thing, and then you put your thing on a piece of product, and then you sell it.
Well, that's the beauty.
That's
actually part of what I love about wrestling is the organic element to it. But they're trying to control. I mean, not just them. I mean, this whole industry. They're trying to control what's viral, and it almost never works.
It's like that thing in Mean Girls where the girl keeps trying to make fetch happen, and everybody's like, "Stop!"
Right?
Stop.
Yeah. Right. Or the clap in Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah.
Guys, everyone knows about Not Another Teen Movie, right? That's a very good reference. Everyone knows it. Everyone loves it. It's one of the top comedies of all time. Yeah. I actually do like it. All right. So, okay, the IC belt. But I'm saying anyway, I'm behind Roman. That's the thing. Now, Jason Jordan, okay, he's getting booed. He's getting a lot of shit. But, I mean, man, guys, the guy can work.
He can.
He had that, like, suplex flippity-do.
I love his suplex.
It was excellent. He's an excellent wrestler. Yeah. They're getting behind him for a reason. His acting is improving. Like, what he does, like, I'm not saying he's, like, an amazing actor. But I'm saying, like, there's a difference between what he does and what, I don't know, Big Cass does when he first comes out. We're like, this guy is really, although Big Cass, he did better. But, like, there's something about him where, like, he's able to, like, commit. He doesn't. It's not a thing where he's like you see his smile poking out. Like, he can fully commit to, like, they've told him to, like, basically be like a whiny bitch, and he does a good job. And the whole heel turn that's inevitable that essentially started this week is one of the most, well-built heel turns that I can remember.
Yeah.
Recent history.
I just think with his... full as the mid card feels right now on Raw, it makes it even more unsatisfying that they kind of just like ended American Alpha with nothing. Like,
oh yeah, totally.
If you're gonna break those guys up, like they were a tag team together for like 2 years, and you just kind of like shift them to different sides of the room. Like
everything they do is like it's so abrupt,
rush.
It's so impulsive.
Yeah,
it's like it's manic. It's a little manic in its decision making. It's a lot of like. And as performers, I think we probably especially like a feel for like, hey, someone's trying to make something work, right? Like you're working on a joke and you're like, I'm going to make it work. And then somebody's just like, and you just got it working. And they're like, we're cutting it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I've seen, you know, I think that is what's really jarring about it. But given where they're going with it, Jason Jordan, like the whole, it's going to work. Like he's going to be. He's going to be close to a main event heel in like a year, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying he's going to earn it. I'm saying how they're going to book it, and you're not going to like hate it. No. Yeah.
I think for what it's worth, too, they now that I'm thinking about it, there really was no reason to break up American Alpha.
No.
They could have still done the Jason Jordan, Kurt Angle angle, and then maybe broke them up after this heel turn happened.
Well, the only reason to break up teams is because. They have two sets of tag belts, which make the tag belts mean zilch.
Yeah.
So tag teams never get heat because being the champion means nothing.
Right.
I mean, I feel like you can still make those belts mean something with that. I mean, if you have eight teams on each brand, like that's enough variety. That's enough different guys challenging that you should be able to keep things interesting. And I think at the big pay-per-views, do what you did with Survivor Series. Every big pay-per-view should be guys from one brand facing against the other brand. Like, every...
What are the eight teams, though? Like, if you look at it, I'm saying, like, there's only ever three teams that are actually viable
to
win.
So on SmackDown, there's the Usos, there's Breezango, there's New Day.
Bludgeon Brothers. There's
Bludgeon Brothers, there's the Colognes, there's the Sings, there's Ascension.
Right.
That's eight
right
there.
But I'm saying, so which one of those can actually hold the title?
At least four of them should be able to. The Usos can. The New Day can. So I don't see why Breezango at some point couldn't. I feel like
is four enough? You think so? I mean, I don't really know the math here.
I mean, shouldn't the Bludgeon Brothers also be threats? Like, what the fuck's the point of bringing them back if they're not going to beat the shit out of people?
Those guys definitely should be threats.
So there's four right there.
I kind of like the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, same with Raw. Like,
it's stupid, but I like it.
Gallows and Anderson should be viable threats. You know,
Revival's
going to be back in a couple weeks, I think.
Gallows and Anderson. They've become, they literally have become the merchandise guys.
Yeah.
Huh? They're in that, like, sweet Santino Morello spot right now, right? They're in that where, like, it's Christmas time and they're like, hey, come on, get some sweaters, get some swag. Like, that's literally what they do. But DX did that also in their, like, late run. Remember, they were just merch whores? Their gimmick was we're old merch whores.
Yeah, from what I can tell, the club is probably, or Gallows and Anderson, I think they like this role that they're in. I don't think they want to be, like, main event, like, tag guys. Because I remember... What's his fuck? The short one,
Anderson.
Anderson, like on social media, was saying that like his schedule now he gets to be with his kids more, and he's like
I think he's a lot happier with the amount of money that he's making and the amount of time that he's able to be in the country. Mm-hmm. I think those two things vibe with him, but I think all things being equal,
his hot Asian wife.
Yeah, all things being equal, I think they'd like a better position compared to what they're doing. I mean, how many times are we going to see Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Shield? Like, how many times?
That's what I'm saying is that I'm just like, that's why I think you need more. I wish all the belts felt bigger. Like, whatever you say about like Brock Lesnar not being around, it definitely sucks. But he always feels like. But the champion.
But the reason you can have champions be around without having them wrestle or without having them wrestle the number one contender, the same two or the same person every single time.
Yeah.
Like, the reason that those matches don't mean shit is because by the time it gets to the pay-per-view, they've touched four times. You know, there's been a month where every week they've gotten their hands on each other.
Right.
And just go, well, what the fuck am I going to tune in for?
But that's kind of why the Brock matches always kind of work is because he's barely around. And they barely touch or they touch once.
But you can be around and still not have things be a match every time.
Yeah.
Like have other matches where somebody interferes. Well,
they tried to do
it
with Jinder. They tried to do that stuff with Jinder.
Yeah.
But he just stinks.
But I don't even think he stinks. I just think it's been poor storytelling and it's, you know, the same. How many times did he face Randy Orton?
Absolutely. No, the booking on Jinder was terrible.
And then that Punjabi prison match was terrible, and they just did it so that they could get
his
a couple spots.
His Shinsuke feud was, I mean, one of the most atrocious things I could think
bad.
Of.
That was so bad.
When he just
so
kept basically just saying the most racist shit. And then they didn't even tap into the intricacies of the fact that guy who was calling the crowd racist was being racist. It was like, all right, we're going to go there. Let's call out how that's kind of smart, you know, in a way. But instead it was like, no, we're just going to put racism on top of racism with no justification and no analysis of that observation. Cool. All right, well, let's talk about the women's division. Paige. So how do we feel about Paige?
I don't like that they did it on both shows, essentially.
That seems to be a pretty prevalent.
Yeah. Well, Jensen last week said he's like, why are there two Shields in the women's division?
I don't get it, and I don't think... I didn't see enough of Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan and in NXT to even give a shit about them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're here. Great.
Well,
are they?
Specifically, let's talk about Sarah Logan quick and then we'll wrap back to Paige because on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, hey, join our Facebook page if you want to talk about wrestling at 4 a.m.
She talks like the defensive coordinator from The Waterboy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Homeboy, you make everybody on my butt.
That guy has a little bit more control than she does. She was getting beat up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I mean, and she deserved it. She was bad.
Female ZZ.
Compare her to Jason Jordan, by the way, while we're like making that. Like, yeah. Jason Jordan, maybe not the greatest actor, but like, that guy can do it. He can do the job.
Well, maybe she shouldn't have spent the first 5 years of her career getting her brains bashed in death matches.
Was that what her deal is?
Yeah.
Did you didn't know her at all?
No. I'm familiar. I'm saying as a viewer, I don't know shit about this Sarah Logan person. I know Mary Dobson from when she was on the Indies, but I don't know anything. And like, I watch NXT, so if I'm somebody who watches Raw and I don't watch, or it was Sean SmackDown, I can't even keep this shit straight.
She's part of the Riot Squad, I believe.
Oh yeah,
which is just a group of, I guess they're a group of how would I say, they're that group from Stranger Things.
And
none of them dress the same at all.
It makes no sense.
That's what I don't get. Like the Paige girls, why wouldn't they all like copy? Why wouldn't they all have like dark eyeshadow?
Or
on,
why don't
like,
you put Paige and Ruby Riot together? Like that makes sense. Yeah. Okay,
well, that's because those are the two
fucking
best.
Mean goth girls. Like, I get it.
From my understanding of it, I've saw a good amount of Ruby Riott in NXT. I actually didn't realize how proficient she is on the mic until she came up.
Yeah.
She's pretty good.
Yeah.
And her look is really good. It's very unique. Mm-hmm. And I think that her being the leader is like really cool. But she can't walk around with a girl who's like, I just was down by the watering hole.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, yo, she's literally like, she looks like.
Y'all
want to
see how many gators I caught? Yeah.
Right? She looks like Tank Girl.
Yeah. I say Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I say that, Daniel Bryan. I hear that. Sarah Logan, I'm a prospect.
I'll tell you what. I won't get up in that ring. I'm going to wrestle my ass off.
I would have won the match, but I saw me some roadkill. I think I cook him up for dinner for my nana. Anyway, Coastal Elites. Coastal Elites. We do terrible representation of the middle of this country. That gimmick is shit.
Yeah.
That is a shit gimmick.
I don't think that's a gimmick. I think that's how she talks. Yeah. I think she got her head hit far too many times.
Does she really have that accent? It sounded really
bad. I've never heard her talk until now. And now I want to push the toothpaste back in the tube.
I think that if she doesn't have that accent naturally, Sarah Logan, if she doesn't have that, then for someone who Triple H is so reckless to give an accent to someone who's that poor of a performer.
Yeah. I think it seems like a real accent.
Really?
I think she just, like she's like, just a marble mouth.
I've been on talking about that.
Yeah, you just press it in against
me. But now I want him to go the opposite way with it. I want it to get worse.
Yeah.
So it gets to the point where everybody's just like, I can't fucking understand what she's saying. They just have to. Yeah. They have to do that now.
Oh my God. They just come like, they're like, we can't find Sarah. We can't find Sarah. Her match is coming up and she's in the back.
But
I don't know, like fucking like milking a cow.
Making a fucking barrel.
But like, this is exactly what NXT is for. And like, they didn't use that for her down there. They didn't develop this character at all. So now it gets there and I'm just like, well, fucking, I don't care about this person. Who is this person?
I mention that every week on this show. I'm like, please let me into the performance center and let me watch the mic training going on there. Like, what is the character training there? Do they have anyone there qualified to teach someone to like cut a promo, like, or like to understand the concept of character? And then, I'm not even knocking them. I'm saying that is complicated shit.
Yeah.
People here spend literally, like at UCB, people spend their whole lives, their careers just making characters, which is like these guys, they're making, and these wrestlers, they're making a character that like is their one character, you know, and you're like, that takes a lot of work and that takes a skilled teacher. And I still think there's too much. Well, Jensen called it the dome.
That's
what he called. He said that's the concept. It's like the dome where you can't infiltrate. The only people who could teach you how to do anything there were like Dusty Rhodes, only got to talk promos. Like, it's like, well, bring in some groundlings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the thing, like,
Maybe they do. Honestly, we don't know.
No, I don't think they do.
I doubt. I would think someone would have told me. Anyone, I know.
But like they do it for other facets of it. Like they hired a striking coach that was in the UFC for a while. Like they're hiring other people that do other shit.
Right.
It's not exclusive to just pro wrestling. So why not?
That out. They don't, because like these guys now on the indie scene are learning how to wrestle without WWE training.
Yeah.
WWE actually, like, my understanding is they like kind of detrain you, right? They train you how to wrestle WWE style.
But I don't necessarily think that's wrong. I think that the WWE style is very good. And if you want to wrestle for a long time, that you maybe you use it. And
100% agree. Everything you're saying comes from a place of love of this product.
Yeah.
I'm right now wearing a $70 Roman Reigns, really a piece of garbage piece of merch.
$70?
Yeah, it's like $70. And I love wrestling. I fly to WrestleMania every year. You know, it comes from a place of love. It's just very frustrating when like you see these people come up and you're like, I think like they could have worked on this a little better. And it's like, it feels like throwing these performers to the wolves a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Pro wrestling is just our shitty stepson, Jeremy. Like, we're always like, we love him and we like.
And he spoke in class today.
But like, ugh. Yeah, he did.
Oh, that was very funny by me. Oh, man. What a comedian.
We're working backward in like chronologically with references. So we've hit Can't Hardly Wait or whatever, and now.
No, we didn't do Canada.
No, no. What was the
Not Another Teen Movie?
Project.
All right. So let's move on to Paige.
Yeah.
So, I'm a big Paige fan.
Yeah,
I'm
like
a Paige mark. Yeah. I think Paige is like when Paige is around, all the other female wrestlers seem less than. Not Charlotte's not around. She could feel similar, but there's something about Paige's attitude that hits an authenticity that you never get in the female division yet. Where it's like her gimmick is like that she's like a wild card or whatever. I don't know what to call it, right?
But
like,
why does she need these two girls?
Well, no, that I don't know. And why are they called Absolution?
Yeah.
I have Absolution, no idea. But I'm cheap. But I think, I have no idea. But I think Paige, like, there is this thing I said last week. I believe that Paige might not show up next Monday. Like, she is like, she has a thing where she has that vibe of like in Fight Club. What's the girl's name? The Helen Bonham Carter character.
Yeah.
Of like, she's like, you know, like, I'm dying, you're dying, everyone's dying. Like, she's smoking a cigarette. She's like, you know, she has like a Courtney Love vibe of like, you don't know. She's like, could turn on you. Like, who cares? She doesn't remember what she said to you. You know, like, people are they're like kind of pilled up or like, I don't know what it is. She has that vibe of like, it's, and it feels authentic.
You got to
like,
hide your flatware when she comes over.
Yeah. She might steal something, but like, she might bring it back. Like, I don't know. Like, she's real, like, loose cannon.
Don't leave any championship belts around that you don't want getting cum done.
Oh, the first reference to that on this show. Definitely. I think, that thing about Paige is just like when like Sasha Banks come in the ring and she's wearing those like out of style Kanye glasses and it's like I'm the boss and you're like no,
you fucking
that girl's the boss like that girl has like porn tapes like she's the boss
but like that's the thing about Sasha is that like she's never retained the title and we know of that we are very aware of that and she's won it 4 times and it means fuck all.
Right.
It means nothing.
She's as a Bostonian, are you defending her?
No, because it's not good. No. And she's good. She's very good.
Right.
You could use her well.
Yeah.
You opt not to.
She needs help. She needs some help with the booking. Like, she really needs some help. She needs help winning, first off. They need to, like, book her to win. That's first off.
Yeah.
But then, secondly, they need to give the boss gimmick some like legs like need to make it like what does it mean what does being a boss mean
and it doesn't work as well as a face
like no it's a heel gimmick
yeah
but Paige she's with Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose, two just random wrestlers that have allegiance to her
apparent reason.
Why don't they both maybe they wanted to show what they look like and then maybe they'll start wearing black and like they'll start being like drinking blood Gangrel style or whatever.
But it's not like they had an established gimmick individually before they came.
Yeah,
like,
Mandy Rose just wears gold, right? Like that's her gimmick.
Like
like a glamazon.
She's apparently pretty good. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I mean she's I saw her at a live event, NXT live event, and Yeah, she can. She's really strong and can, like, physically strong. So I think that does a lot for her ability to, like, control her body and kind of move deliberately and not look like she's, like, you know, fake fighting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cool. Hey, do you guys want to hear Jack Mills part three of Fix Bray Wyatt saga?
Yeah.
One of our listeners thinks he believes that he can fix Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the third part, final part of how he's going to fix him. I believe to date he wanted to turn him into a cult leader. He says he needs a cult, right?
Right.
And
the cult, like that Sister Abigail actually is like can sort of that other people are also under her thrall.
Right.
Well. Yeah.
And then he calls up his disciple Aleister Black from NXT to be his. His weapon of destruction.
Right.
I'm sure he's going nuts.
And I think
botching us how we're saying this.
And I think that his point was that Aleister Black would be like a true believer in Sister Abigail, whereas Bray Wyatt is sort of just like a snake oil salesman. Like, he doesn't really believe in Sister Abigail's powers. He's just sort of trying to use it to manipulate people.
Right.
Yeah.
But Aleister is all in as a Satanist because he's a shoot Satanist.
Right. Hail Satan.
Right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. I bet he's just going to recap it right away.
Completely
pointless. This is the conclusion of Bray Wyatt's rehabilitation. But before I get into that, I need to thank you, Dan. I need to thank you for not telling me that you were going to have a former WWE writer on the show last week, because as much as I would love the opportunity to get constructive feedback on my fantasy booking from someone who has actually been in the business, I'd much rather sit here and wax poetic for you two fucking jabronis. So anyway, this deal between the Spooky Boys has been going on over the course of about a year, and the whole thing will blow off at Survivor Series. And yes, Aleister Black is going to win. But before Newman gets all worked up about how Bray is going to lose this feud and how it makes him look weak, remember this.
I want
As a group, the Spooky Boys have been running roughshod over everyone for the better part of a year. They've been booked strong, and they've won every feud they've faced.
Bray and Aleister
and
the Spooky Boys.
This isn't about giving Bray a feud that he can win. This is about fixing Bray Wyatt. This is about changing what isn't working about Bray's character right now. Bray's problem is that he's leaning too far into the spookiness. It's not that he's not good at it, but it's that Black can do it better. And at Survivor Series, the guys in Black's corner, they're relatively interchangeable, because that group, they exist to get Black over, sort of like the old Wyatt family was. But Bray's team is far more important. In his corner are Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, the natural Dustin Rhodes, not Gold Dust, but Dustin Rhodes.
That's a swerve.
And Jason Jordan. So these are all guys who are multi-generational wrestlers, either in reality or in kayfabe, and they've been booked weak for a long time. The angle is that Bray convinces all of them that they've been disrespected by the WWE. They're wrestling royalty. They deserve respect, and they're going to take it by any means necessary.
So
pause for a sec. Mike wants to comment.
So his solution here is to take five turds and stick them together to form a super turd.
I guess so.
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, he said Jason Jordan is. He said they're all kayfabe third generation.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. But only Jason Jordan's. He's the only kayfabe one, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Well, he's second.
But sometimes that works in numbers.
Sure.
Right. Like if you put them together, like. I don't think I'm trying to think. Like, would like Road Dogg Jesse James be good without DX?
No.
No.
Yeah.
No. Right. Do you not remember when he was with R-Truth? It was pretty bad.
Or when he was with Jeff Jarrett as the roadie.
Oh yeah. All
right.
The offshoot of this is that,
or when Billy Gunn was gay for no matter. Yeah. They just
and then he was like, "Nope, just kidding, not gay anymore."
That was one.
I wasn't watching that, but
I wasn't watching that either. All I know is he had a gay wedding.
Hmm.
All right.
Oh, good for him.
Aleister Black becomes the new quasi supernatural gimmick guy with an actual background in Satanism, and Bray can go back to being the charismatic cult leader that he was when he was at his best, but with a fresh coat of paint. That's also rooted in reality. That, gentlemen, is how you fix Bray Wyatt.
All right. Hey, Let's give it up for Jerk Mills coming at you, Gubba Wee. So, all right. Yeah, cool. I mean, I like it. I think Aleister Black and Bray Wyatt would be cool. I feel like the whole thing, like, I can't, like, my feeling today, and obviously I'd have to listen back to your whole thing. My feeling today is like, Bray Wyatt would be so good if he just won. Yeah. Like, isn't it just like as simple as that? Like, if he just won a bunch when he had the championship, if it mattered, if he like held the belt for a significant amount of time. Fucking Jinder Mahal had the belt for 6 months, and we were all like, we'll watch this.
Right.
We would watch and like Bray Wyatt. He's capable of like good matches. He doesn't need as much gimmickry as they give him. And I don't mind that stuff either personally, but I know I'm in the minority. Yeah. Me and all the kids like little worm projections.
But like, look at how like Bray Wyatt was built. Like, he was built perfectly. Like, and that's how I feel like that squash program that should be run. Somebody should be running on one each pay-per-view cycle. Like,
yeah,
just build guys up that way.
Like, yeah.
Not every match on the card has to be a back-and-forth great match. Like, have one match on each Raw and each SmackDown be one where some guy who doesn't mean anything just gets the shit knocked out of him.
Yeah.
That's how they build
somebody else look cool.
That's how they build Aleister Black up on NXT.
Yeah.
First 10 matches, you're just right. Like kicking people out.
You're right. I mean, you're talking about the Braun, right? Like Braun. Jobbing, the jobber gimmick, the jobber routine. Proven that it works.
Yeah.
It still works. It's timeless, baby.
Yeah.
It's timeless. Okay. So, hey.
Oh, yeah. So I brought somebody to the studio.
Yeah. Tonight. You said you had a guest you wanted to bring
in? I have a guest.
In?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me go get him.
Okay. All right. Newman's walking out.
Oh, my God. Gentlemen.
Oh my God.
It's me, Alex Jones.
It's Alex Jones.
I'm here with the Info Swamp Report.
What do you have? Info Swamp?
This is the Info Swamp. I'm here to tell you about what's going on in the swamp of professional wrestling.
I didn't even know you watch professional wrestling, Alex Jones.
I do. I watch everything that the Illuminati puts out.
The wrestling's of the Illuminati?
You're right. It is part of the Illuminati. Look at the Raw. Monday Night Raw, the A has the Eye of Horus in it. It is a predictive programming on the part of the CIA and the Illuminati elite trying to brainwash our kids and turn them into gay frogs.
Okay. Gay frogs? Why specifically gay frogs?
Because, well, they put water. What do they think? They put fluoride in the water, and what do you think that is? That's a gay bomb, baby.
Oh, my. All right. I don't know. I don't like what you're... I might have to edit this out. I mean, it feels homophobic.
It's not... Well, that's not what I'm here to talk about. All right. I got two reports from high up on the in the infosphere here about the swamp. First of all, number one...
Well, explain to the what, swamp is to, right. to our from Mike Malloy, our guest here. This is Mike. You didn't even say hi to him.
How's it going? Sorry, I would shake your hand, but I'm inoculated against all kinds of diseases. All right, so the swamp essentially is what this podcast and me refers to the fans of professional wrestling.
All of them,
when they're disgusting. Okay, when they make disgusting jokes about Alexa Bliss's butt, and they make memes about body slamming your girlfriend.
Yeah, because you're such an upstanding gentleman.
Look, I got a wife and kids. I'm a family man. I'm born and raised in Texas. I know what is wholesome, and I don't like that the Illuminati is putting this stuff on TV, and I especially don't like that the fans are taking it out of context and making it sexual, and it doesn't have to be. I'm sorry. I had steak for dinner, so my testosterone is through the roof right now.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it kicks in that fast. All right.
It does with me when my metabolism is through the roof because I have an alkaline body because I use E. Cola Blue water filters. The only water filter guaranteed to filter out 99%.
You're doing your sponsors again?
Sorry.
Sponsor on our show, okay? This is a separate show from your show, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you guys want some water filters, some, like... Omaha Steak subscriptions, I can get you that.
Okay, okay. All right, what do you want to say about
first
the swamp?
Of all,
because I would like to hear from Mike.
Two things. One, Kevin Owens was being harassed by the swamp on social media.
I saw that. Kevin Owens was tweeting about they're harassing his family.
Harassing him and his family. Now, look, Kevin Owens may be a pig-human hybrid that was bred in an underground CIA bunker off of Montauk Island. But leave his family out of this. Nobody's family deserves to be picked on this way, especially not on the internet. Number two.
Okay, wait, so his family, is in a bunker off... What did you just say about Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens is a chimera. He was...
a what? A chimera?
Kevin Owens is a chimera. They took an embryo from a pig and an embryo from a human, and they bred them off of Montauk Island off the coast of New York in an underground bunker. You've seen Stranger Things. It's loosely based on the Montauk Project, where the CIA successfully opened up a rift in time and space and let monsters through. This happened. I've seen the papers. I've read the reports. This has happened.
Okay, wait. Montauk's not an island.
There's Montauk Island.
Okay. All right.
I'm
from Long Island. I think I would have heard about Montauk Island.
Oh, yeah. What about Three Mile Island? You still got babies born with heads shaped like shovels because of that spill. This is all in the news. This is all mainstream media reports, okay? I don't have to make this up.
Okay, so Kevin Owens is a creation?
He is a pig-human chimera.
Okay.
But that is besides the point. Leave his family out of this.
Okay, all right. It sounds like you have a moral high ground that immediately goes away once you say anything.
Well, what's wrong with calling out the fact? Look at him. Look at his body. Look at his face. He's part pig, part man.
Okay, all
right. It's not his fault he didn't ask to be born or bred in a tube.
Okay, what's number two?
Number two, Vince McMahon. He wanted the name. Okay, look, Absolution, I agree. It's a terrible name. No one wants to be. It's not even a bad thing. Like, if you look at the definition of absolution, it's like being like absolved of a crime. Like, it's not a bad thing, but
that's a good point, actually.
Yeah,
Alex.
It's not a bad thing. So, Vince McMahon, however, wanted to call Absolution PMS. Now they've done that before, also bad, but they wanted to call three women PMS because his logic was, according to Stephanie McMahon, that they would be mad that they were overlooked. And, you know, women, of course, according to him, they're mad. They must be PMSing. Do you know what happens, Vince McMahon, when you try to name an all-female stable PMS? What? Do you know what happens, Vince, when you try to relegate women to their menstrual moon cycle, Vince? Vince, you just made the swamp.
Oh, my. You did, okay. So, you have a that was like a Jericho list for the swamp?
It is. It's like just like Chris Jericho's list, except it's a list of people who belong in the slimy swamp. Vince McMahon, you're in the swamp.
Okay, all right. Hey.
I got to go. My CIA van is here. I got to put this black bag over my head and get taken back to my bunker.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by here. I mean, what was it, the Info Swamp Wars?
Info Swamp.
Okay. All right. Get the fuck out. Mike, I'm sorry about this.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I didn't realize he had eaten a steak. I didn't know he was going to be like that.
No, that's not what we were upset about. We were upset about the fact that he came in here and interrupted the show. I was about to talk about SmackDown.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I won't invite him here again.
Yeah. I was about to talk about...
Wait, whose entrance music is this? I don't recognize this song.
Oh, it's time. Everybody knows it's time to talk about SmackDown. Oh, man. Everybody loves it. Everyone loves the SmackDown theme song. It's definitely not just Shinsuke's song with me saying SmackDown a lot of times.
SmackDown.
Wait, hold on. I think it gets better. Pump it, Zig. Can we get the jam? We're trying to jam.
Smack.
Let me get this part. Down. Used to be on Thursdays, then moved to Friday. It went back to Thursdays.
It's Tuesdays.
Oh, man, beautiful, guys. All right, anyway, I'll let you know, Mike, that was not written. That was completely improvised.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's move on to SmackDown. I thought SmackDown was shit this week. Yeah. Anyone else think that?
Yeah. I didn't watch all of it. I watched the second half of it. It was, what was the main event again?
Was
Kevin
Orton,
Owens, Orton versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I think that was the main event. I don't even remember. I was just snooze. But so we'll just hit a couple points and then we'll get out of here. It's a lot has happened today.
Yeah.
You know, movie star Skylar Astin has commented on the show on Twitter. Thanks for listening, dude. And more importantly, no offense, Skylar, but Alex Jones burst in the studio and has completely disoriented me. But I'll try to talk about SmackDown. So anyway, Orton and Zayn felt like, I mean, Zayn and Owens came out at the top of SmackDown and felt like they were like, guys, go out there and just talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it went on forever. And like they were like hitting that tech, that like Air Bud technicality of like, you know, I'm just like, hey, can the dog play? I was like, there's nothing in the rules against it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, hey, you said like, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, well, I know I was banned from ringside, but not from the, I wasn't banned from the ramp.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. All right, man. Like, is that a 10 minute, and you milk that for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, and then they chain him to the friggin' rope, and yeah, he cuts the chain. So yeah, it's like, oh, I didn't.
Right, right, right.
It's just like nothing matters. No actions have consequences.
Yeah, it was just kind of boring. I didn't really get into it. I thought the only thing I really took away from SmackDown this week, AJ wasn't there, right?
Right.
They showed a promo pushing the match, AJ and Jinder. But I just thought Ruby Riott was the thing that stuck out to me. I was like, I actually see something. She's very unique.
Yeah.
You know?
She's good.
Can she work?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen her matches. Most of the matches I've seen of her were like 3-4-person matches. I saw Asuka ones where, you know, with like...
She had some. I think she Nikki was. Cross. She was in Shimmer for a while, and she had some pretty good matches over there.
Right. And then Rusev Day T-shirt.
Oh yeah, I might buy one.
That seems like a buyable hashtag Hounds of Merch. Feels like a buyable piece of merch.
Yeah.
The Rusev Day shirt.
I think so, that funny.
When you think about a shirt, God, I got a Tulo, who I guess didn't cash in this week.
No two locations.
Wow. Wow. Oh, God, everyone. Wow.
How lucky are we?
Wow, that's we all got a break. Mike, you're happy about this, okay?
I guess so.
I guess to make it up, we'll have to play this.
Not changing my lifestyle. I'm 4 or 5 women every day of my life.
All right.
Who wants to walk with Elias?
Okay, so I do. Yeah. But I would say Elias. Did you feel insulted in the Staples Center when he said you're not famous? Did that feel bad?
No, because I am famous. So he wasn't talking to me.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure.
I stood up and I was like, he's talking about you, everybody.
Yeah. Okay. I forgot what the 3 tenets of buyable merch is. But
yeah.
I think one of them is like longevity.
Yeah.
Like, will you regret this purchase? And I feel like 5 years down the line, you won't be upset you got a Rusev Day shirt.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I think you're like, oh, this is funny. It's the Rusev Day.
Yeah.
I think Rusev Day is cool. Okay. So I think we can just end on this last thing. I'll leave you guys with this. How high up the card do you think Elias can go? That's what I'm curious about.
I think he can, at the very least, be Intercontinental Champ. I mean, especially this week. Like, he was great this week. Like, that shit was great. And, like, it seemed like the crowd, like, wanted to cheer him at first, and he took it away. And that's what you should be able to do in that position.
That's a sweet spot, right, where you're a beloved heel?
Yeah. Yeah. Where they love you, and they want to love you, and you just go, nope.
The Rock Zone.
Yeah.
I feel like... Because I remember when they turned The Rock when I was a kid, and they turned him, and I was like devastated.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, what? I love him. And then I just kept liking him. That was the only thing. Nothing changed. And he was better as a heel.
Yeah.
But I think Elias, like, he's getting so comfortable.
Yeah.
When he's up there, he was up there just like riffing. He was up there playing the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like he wasn't. He was like, I'm just going to, like, you know, jam for a second. It was very effective.
Well,
it was like, this is my time.
It feels natural. It feels like what he would do in those scenarios.
Right.
Like, it just feels more organic. And I don't think as many people are in his ear being like, do this, do this, do this, because not many of them know how to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's I'm going to put it to you guys as a simple question. Do you think Elias will ever be the heavyweight or universal champion?
Yeah, because they fucking play hot potato with it all the time.
Right. So you think he'll have it, numbers. But it won't feel correct?
Probably.
Do you ever think he'll earn it in a smart way?
How old is he? He's fairly...
He looks 40. Yeah. Right? But all the wrestlers look 40. It's a grizzled lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
If he could.
All right. So you're opening that. That door's open, which is surprising.
Would I think at the very least.
When he was
in
NXT, would you think that ever?
No.
No.
I didn't. Especially in NXT, I don't know. And they didn't seem to care for him there either. No. But like.
Yeah. It seemed like it was like not like heel heat. It was like the go away heat. Yeah.
Well, I told you, NXT is the land of fake heat.
Yeah, and
I told you that it's called the reverse NXT.
Yeah,
right. That's what I call where if you suck in NXT, you might be good on the main roster.
Right.
Okay, so do you think to Nasty Newman? Do you think that Elias will ever win the U.S. the Universal title or the WWE Heavyweight Championship?
Universal, no. Heavyweight, maybe. Intercontinental, definitely.
Okay, not Intercontinental. But I think we all agree he's going to win. He's definitely going to have an IC run.
Maybe.
Luke Harper and an IC
80%.
Run. We all think he can. Having an IC run is not a big deal.
Yeah, a heavy maybe. Like 80. I think there's like an 80% chance he's going to get the
But Luke run. Harper was another guy that at a certain point I was just like, this guy should be a heavyweight champ one day. Like,
yeah.
And now it's never going
to
happen.
They couldn't get that gimmick together. They couldn't like, they were close.
What does his gimmick have to be? He's just fucking Bruiser Brody. Like, let him be that. Let him be just a monster.
Yeah.
I guess, but he always felt Wyatt derivative, like that. You know, I felt like they couldn't get him to be like his own thing.
But even on his IC run, he was just the same guy. He just wasn't in the Wyatts anymore, and he was still dope.
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like he doesn't say anything. He just runs around in clotheslines and big boots, people, and is dope. Like,
I think
what do you
he
want?
Never,
from him?
He never got the. I agree, but he never got the heat that like I could see them giving him that push.
I don't necessarily think he's a heel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when he was doing that singles run, people, like, the crowd was, like, way behind him. Yeah,
he's could just be just a dirty big dude who people like.
I think they need to do more gimmicks of, like make him, like, a trash man or, like, a fucking, like, they needed, like, there's, like, simpler gimmicks where it's just, like, this is a guy who, you know, he's, like, a janitor or something just because... They have to have a character.
And he's mopping the near the ring and he sees a wrestler trying to solve a problem.
Yeah.
He's like, I got this.
Well, I do think there is like a, are you saying Luke Harper like a blue collar kind of a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, like there is a thing where like he could be like super relatable.
Yeah.
If he did get up there and like kind of do a Dusty thing where he's like, hey, I'm like the son of like a plumber.
And,
you know, or like whatever his true story
they
is.
They just need guys who don't have gimmicks just need to start getting jobs.
Yeah.
Well, it
like
is,
Apollo Crews can start driving Uber.
Oh my God. Apollo Crews, if his gimmick was the Uber driver.
He's just a friendly Uber driver.
That's amazing.
He's like, his music, he changes music. It would be like the sound your phone makes when your Uber arrives.
Yeah. And he's like, he'd be like, that was five-star match.
Kurt Hawkins. Kurt Hawkins is late for his match because he was doing Postmates.
Yeah,
like, you gotta.
It's worth
the gig economy, baby. Wrestlers need it too.
If he leaves mid-match to go deliver, because he's like, if I win this match, it doesn't affect me at
all. Blitz alert. He gets a blitz alert during a match.
I
gotta get out of here.
Oh, man.
All right. Do we got anything else to cover? No, I think we're good. Anything else on your guys' end?
No.
Okay.
Do we got anything that I need to play besides this? but yeah, that was necessary, and
holy motherfucking shit!
Just for Tulo because he didn't cash in today. Hey, Jabroniacs, thank you for listening. Mike, thank you for coming in. I hope you had a good time.
Thank you for having me, boys. Pleasure.
Everybody, remember, join the Facebook page, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at COW Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at D Black Attack. And hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. All right.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.